day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And our scripture reading, well, we're going to do a proclamation first, and why we are here, proclamation. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Our scripture reading today is Romans 3:19-26, which is righteousness through faith. That's the title, righteousness through faith. Here reads the word of God. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silent and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness as the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word live Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Father, dear Father, we just thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings, Lord. And we are so grateful and so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
I can't. Come on, England. Put your hands together and give a very warm British welcome to Pastor Donnie McClatty.
You give me everything I need.
You give me everything I need.
Amen. This morning, you know what? I once heard a preacher say, you need to bring a brown shopping bag to church. Amen. I sat back. I listened. Amen. And then the preacher said, you need to come, and when you get in the church, open that bag up. I came. For what? Put it in the bag. Amen. You ought to come to church expecting to receive, but you got to believe before you can receive. But if you believe before you receive, then that means you're believing to receive and not waiting till you receive to believe. Amen. Lord bless you on this morning. And you know what? Out of all the things that we ask God for, what we need is his glory. Amen. What we need is to be able to advertise and display God in everything we say and do, in our personal, in our family, in our church, and civic life. We need your glory, Lord.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me, more of you is what I need.
Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need you
more. Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me
and more of you. Worshiper out there that'll join me. Come on. Let him know that you're hungry for him. That you're longing for him. That you're thirsty for him. Oh, I am. So lift your voice and say, I need. I can't live without. Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Pastor, you always take us in. We just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Celebrating Black History. Say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud. In celebration and recognition of Black History, we have our very own sister, woman of God, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, to share a special known Black History fact. Take it away, Sister Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. Take it away, Sister. We're ready for you.
All righty. Sorry about that. I was having some headphone issues. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to bring you a small snippet of Black History today. And I thought it would be appropriate to talk about praise houses. I found an interesting article on the Union Review by Treba Gary, and she is a contributing writer to this editorial. And so it says, hidden behind the silhouettes of Spanish moss and oak trees, surrounded by swarms of sand gnats and embedded into the dark marsh soil of the low country, unbeknownst to many, lay tiny, weathered wooden structures known as praise houses. Today, praise houses are the epitome of African-American culture, and yet they are representative of the challenge of cultural preservation in minority communities. On the other hand, institutions, praise houses, give honor to the myriad of contributions that African-Americans have made to U.S. history. For African-Americans, praise houses engender a sense of pride, personal identification, and connection to the motherland. Although many other practices were made, God was the foundation of their praise, and their praise houses became the genesis of the Black community and the Black church. Praise houses were not only for worship services, they were also safe havens to create music, hold meetings, and educate their congregants. The influence of praise houses is still evident in the contemporary Black church, serving as a repository of communal traditions, a central meeting place, an alliance where the faithful would be regarded with respect and esteem, inspired clapping and dancing, and soul-stirring music. The narratives of the African-American experience are crucial to the cultural perseverance of American treasures like the praise houses. The Black church, with its record books and minutes, play a crucial role in working with communities to preserve their culture and historical artifacts and telling their aspiring stories of survival for future generations. I hope that was enlightening. I hope you all have a great week.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for that little known Black history fact. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Okay. All right. Which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own man of God, Brother Jonathan Tate. Actually, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own assistant pastor, man of God, Jonathan Tate. Amen. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I feel the love of the saved in this place. Oh,
get so hard, just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low, never let your faith go.
Ooh. Never let your faith go.
Yeah. I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists disguised.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day, day.
Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame, abuse, and evil, I pray.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
In the earth,
let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
Lord, we come before you this morning praising you and worshiping you and just thanking you for another day. We don't deserve what we get from you, but we thank our elder brother Jesus for going to the cross in our place. And then not only that, rising from the grave with all power and might, and then continuing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And constantly saying not guilty because of our sins being covered by his blood. And we thank you for that. We thank Father, Son, Holy Spirit for all that you do for us. But help us to thank you in action and to love you in action and not just word, but in deed. Your word says faith without works is dead. And it's true. We have the opportunity to love you in action by choice, not as the angels do where they have to follow your commands. We have a choice. We can choose to love you. We can choose to obey you and help us to do so. Your word says that our hearts will fail and that our spirits will grow weak. But you are our portion, and you're the strength of our hearts, and our portions forever, as it says in Psalms 73. And we know that because of your track record with us.
you continue to love us, and we fall countless times, Lord. I heard a preacher say one time that Satan, Lucifer, sinned and fell one time and was kicked out. But we fall countless times, and we can get back up and get back in right relationship with you because of what Jesus did for us. And Lord, we need not be selfish with the gospel and not worry about pleasing people, as it says in Galatians, as Paul mentioned. But we need to be concerned about spreading the gospel, the good news about our salvation, about our redemption, about our true forgiveness and restoration. By one man, sin entered, and by one man, sin was conquered. And we know that one man to be our elder brother, Jesus. So if Jesus did his part for you, you should be able to do your part for him and tell someone about what he did and what he continues to do. And it's right there, evidence in the word. And Jesus actually walked the planet. It's mentioned in history books. But we have the Bible to look to, God's very word, his love letter to us, to share with the rest of the world. We pray right now for those all around the world who are dealing with grief and mourning. We pray for those people in Turkey. We pray, Lord, that this tragedy will allow them to draw closer to you and be saved. And we pray right now, Lord, that some of your people are over there on the ground leading folks to safety and to salvation. We thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity on Blog Talk Radio to praise you and to worship you. Lord, empty out the speaker, Lord. Bless him with a word for us and help him to be a true vessel this morning. And we thank you for each and every one that's listening, that's involved in this ministry right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
govern yourselves accordingly. Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Excellent service so far. We are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Everyone have a beautiful day. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. Best part, the buttercream icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own sister, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own unique way with introductions of our speaker. Amen.
Happened to me. heart has been healed. Come and witness for yourself. He is revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Oh, I just thank God for the psalmist. I know it's not about how we feel emotionally, but sometimes it's still good to just praise him and to feel good about it. Welcome. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ Ministries family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. No, we're not in a physical building yet, but guess what? We're having church right now up in here, wherever you happen to be. Well, I don't know about you, but I got my brown paper bag right here. Earlier, Pastor O suggested that we should show up expecting to get something. I'm ready to fill mine up. What about you? Okay, Pastor O is going to continue on in his sermon series, 1 Corinthians. This will be part two. And he's asked me to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 16. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 16. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand. Only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of God. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Yay, I'm back. Thanks, Rebecca, for reading for us last week. And yay, we're all going to be back in a physical building soon so I can see everyone. What a wonderful day that will be. It makes me think about the big reunion we can all expect when we get to heaven. There, we will no longer experience any human misunderstandings. Still, we see from the scripture reading that even on this side, when we have the mind of Christ, we can understand. Oh, how important understanding is. This morning, I just want to take a moment to remind everyone why I introduced Pastor O the way I do. So back in biblical times, as recorded in Acts chapter 8, there was this man, an Ethiopian, reading scripture as he rode along in a chariot. God told Philip, the apostle, by way of the Holy Spirit, to walk along the side of the carriage. So it was that Philip heard the Ethiopian reading from the prophet Isaiah. So Philip asked this profound question, do you understand what you are reading? And then came an even more pronounced response, how can I unless someone instructs me? The rest is, as they say, history, with Philip explaining so well that the Ethiopian believed in Jesus and was baptized on the spot. Today I hope you are here with ears and a heart to understand like that Ethiopian, because we have one called by God by way of the Holy Spirit and the person of Pastor O. He has obediently agreed this morning to answer questions that we have about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God has already revealed to Pastor O what we need to know to understand. Isn't that right, Pastor O?
Yes, indeed.
Well, then break it down.
down for us.
I sure will. Thank you, this Dr. June Rogers. Appreciate you. And tell Ray I said, what's up? And go time is almost here. Amen. Get the pan warmed up. Get the, you know, the fryer going and get the scaler ready. And, amen.
You talking about Super Bowl
Sunday. And fishing. All right. Amen. Thank you, June. Appreciate you.
Amen.
Hey, amen. It is that day. First, before I do anything else, you know, I was looking at some numbers yesterday, and I want to give a big shout out to the folks over in Canada who listen to us. We're growing over there. We're almost at 2%. But you say, Pastor, well, that's a small number, a small percentage. Well, you have to go with how many people live there, and that's not bad. All the folks over in South Korea, United Kingdom, Japan, all over Africa, China, India, Thailand, a small percentage of you that is growing in Russia. Amen. God is blessing us to be able to reach out all over the world. When Running for Christ Ministries first started Blog Talk Radio, it was to reach the members who couldn't come to Bible class. Okay? But God had a whole different plan to reach out to people all over the planet. Amen. From this platform. So we thank God for each and every one of you and don't want to fail to mention you, especially those of you here in the United States. Amen. What a vast majority of our listeners are. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we don't want to ever not acknowledge you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, all I ask is that you use me the way you did last Sunday when we were talking about this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Repeat after me. This is the most important part. Don't say that. But Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here to change the way I think and to live according to your word so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life is. Amen. And that's what Paul is doing for the Corinthians. Amen. Now, we started this conversation on last week and we ran through chapter 1. That's the introductory chapter. You always want to pay a whole lot of attention to the introductory chapter. Why? Because the rest of the book is going to be about that. The rest of the letter is going to be about that. And you want to know what the first six chapters of this book is addressing? Spiritual immaturity. Now, Paul visited Corinth and planted this church because he's an apostle, and that's what they do. They plant churches. They don't pastor churches, but they plant churches. So if you see an apostle today pastoring a church, either they don't know what apostle means or what it is, or they just like the name and feel like it makes me different from them, and I'm up, okay? But whatever the case, Paul planted churches, and he planted this one in AD 50. About a year and a half, I believe, lecturing in the Hall of Tyrannus, because he was going to leave. We read last week, you need to go back and listen to that. We read last week in in Acts chapter 18, that Paul was ready to get up out of here. These people was a little bit different. He was about to leave. These were worse than Samaritans as far as he was concerned. He was about to get up out of there. But Jesus shows up and encourages him to stay. And Jesus tells Paul, I have many people in this place. How many people does Jesus have in the place that you work in that don't know they belong to him yet? Oh, so you just got you a brand new job, huh? Now your job is to find out who in here belongs to Jesus and who don't. And when you find out who don't, you can tell them about why you belong to Jesus. That's your testimony. Amen? And for those who do know Jesus, you can strike up a Bible class. You know, Joyce Myers did that, and she had about 15 people on her job. And then it got too big. It grew to 60 people, so it was at her home. And then it got too big, and you know the rest of the story. Now she can go to any city, anywhere, and raise up 30,000 to 40,000 people just like that. Why? Because God wants them to hear what she got to say. And if you ever listen to Joyce Myers, I talked to one preacher one day. He told me he didn't like listening to her. I say, why? He say, she mean. Amen. I'm like, really? So that drove you away, huh? Hey, man, I needed her to be mean. I needed somebody to tell me the truth. I didn't need to know about this, that, and the other, how to get this or that from God. I needed to know how to act right, how to talk right, how to walk right. That was my problem. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians, right? And now it's about AD 55. They're about 5 years old, but their biggest problem is spiritual immaturity. And that's what happens when Christians join the church but don't join the Bible class, don't join the Sunday school, don't do no home Bible study, don't have no Bible classes in their house. But they belong to Jesus. What did I say? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Join the church. Christ is your Savior. Then go out and find a local congregation to baptize believers and say, I'm going to worship Jesus with these people. But these people have, you know, when I want to tell you something. When I first joined a local church, amen, I went on a Sunday, had on my earth shoes and my Nehru suit, because I didn't wear suits and I didn't wear dress shoes. But that's the best I had to dress up and go to church in, so I went. Didn't know how church worked, so I sat on the front row with the deacons. People was looking at me. I say, well, if y'all don't like my Nehru suit or my earth shoes, then you just get over it. So I said, I didn't know I was sitting in the wrong seat. I didn't know church had that kind of seating thing going on. But anyway, amen, it was a whole lot of people there. Couldn't even find a seat, hardly. That's why I had to sit on the front row with the deacons. There was some room up there, so I said, oh, they say this for me. But anyway, I was church ignorant. I didn't know how church worked. So anyway, I get to church, it's packed, okay? And then I hear them mention that there's a Bible class on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I'm like, I am there, okay, because I want to know about Jesus. And they got somebody going to tell me about it. I am there, okay? So I went. But it wasn't a whole lot of people there. There was plenty of seating. So I said to the pastor, well, them people who was here Sunday, why they not here tonight to learn the Bible? And that's when I found out people go to church, and that's about it. They don't grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. And you need to join us on Monday night, and you'll find out what the knowledge of the grace of the Lord is all about in our Monday night Bible class, starts at 6 o'clock. Amen. So Paul is writing to these people to address, you know, churches have a whole lot of problems because they got spiritually immature Christians in it. They got folks who have given their lives to Christ and he has become their Savior, but he ain't nowhere near their Lord. That's where John 6:46 comes in, right? Luke 6:46, right? It says, why do you call me Lord? Why, you know, you got to picture this in your head. Hey, man, you got to think this thing through in your mind. These people is following Jesus. Teach us, Jesus. Lord, Jesus, Lord, Lord. So I guess Jesus got a little frustrated. And he turned it around 180 degrees and looked at the people and say, why you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? Wow. When you don't know what Jesus said, it's kind of hard to do what Jesus said. And that's what's going on in the Corinthian church. Paul have heard from a lady named Chloe from the household of Chloe. Apparently, she had visited the church in Corinth, and she found some five-year-old Christians acting like babies. And an example, a demonstration, and why she thought that, she said, guess what, Paul? Paul say what? She said, there's some people over there that say they follow you. Paul like, well, that's cool. I planted the church. And there's some people over there who follow Peter. That lets you know that Paul talked about Peter while he was there. Because these people ain't never met Peter. There's no place in the Bible recorded where Peter went to Corinth and preached. But they know him. And then there were some who they knew Apollos, okay, because he had been a witness there in Corinth, even even though Priscilla and Aquila had to hook him up all the way because all he had was John's baptism. Amen? Amen. Right? So these people in this church have picks and chooses. So when you see a church and church members with picks, and I don't come to church on that Sunday. I don't never see you on the third Sunday. Why? Because that's when the inspirational choir sing. I come when the pastor chorus sing. Really? I ain't coming out to the revival this year. Why? Because I don't like that preacher. I like that preacher. Wow. Picks and chooses. Amen. I don't like that sugar. Give me that sugar. Really? There's a difference? Amen. Praise the Lord. What am I saying to you? They have divisions. They're divided over who they believe is more spiritual than somebody else, who is more spiritually gifted than somebody else. They got picks and chooses, and some of us do that today. So this is a demonstration of spiritual immaturity. Paul wants to let them know, and that's where he ends chapter 1, talking about the wisdom that comes from God and who God decides to pick. You will notice over in chapter 1 that Paul said God don't pick a whole lot of smart, noble people. Not many of you were noble or high up or influential when God called you. You were like Pastor Janice Tate just taught us about, you was a leper. Okay, you was Peter's mama, and you was sick and couldn't get well. Okay, you was blind and couldn't see. Okay, you had a daughter at home possessed with a devil who was so wild you couldn't even bring her with you. You had to come to Jesus by yourself. You had a daughter, and she was 12 years old. And amen. Do you get where I'm going with this? Amen. Wisdom comes from God, and God picks people who are not all that much. If you are real stuck on yourself and feel like God got a gift when he got you, he ain't going to do a whole lot with you because you ain't God, and God know that. Jesus knows you are not him. Jesus knows that except you abide in him, you can't do nothing. Can I say that again? Unless you abide in him, you can't do nothing. So Paul lets them know, don't be impressed with Apollos, Peter, and some of them even had the nerve to say, I follow Jesus. Really? You follow Jesus, but you got picks and chooses. Amen. So Paul is helping to deal. In the first six chapters of Corinthians, it's all about spiritual immaturity and how it's displaying itself. And so he writes to them, and I know they was tripping, you know, because Paul didn't see all this. This was told to him by the household of Chloe, right? Amen. So they're like, who snitched us out? Who told how we was acting down here? But they don't know the word of God. And what they do know, they ain't following. And then they got, Paul told them over there in chapter 1, you have all the spiritual gifts. You're not lacking in any of the power from God. The anointing is on display. But this one, when we get to chapter 12, you're going to see this one think they don't have to belong because they ain't that. And that one think it's something because it is that. And think that one is less than something because it ain't that. But we'll deal with that when we get to chapter 12. Amen. God has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, when we start in chapter 2, the first thing we read is, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Amen. Paul said, he didn't come. Now, if you read Philippians chapter 3, you'll see that Paul was not like Peter and them. He was not considered to be an ignorant fisherman. Amen. But he was one of those who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. But let me read you. Open up your biblical. You're in church. Open up your biblical. Oh, so you came to church without a Bible and you at home. Lord, have mercy. Go to chapter 3. Excuse me. When you go to Philippians chapter 3, These are the words that you will find when you start to read in verse 3. 3 and 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Therefore, I myself have reasons for such confidence. See, Paul is dealing with people over here who bragging about who they is. And he's going to let them know, if I could get into that with you and probably exceed you. Listen to what Paul says as he gives his resume. If someone thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day, what? Of the people of Israel, what? Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, what? In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. Lord have mercy. Paul could brag. These people bragging and they ain't none of that. Paul is all that, but he ain't bragging. Listen to what Paul says. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and somehow attain it to the resurrection from the dead. I once preached a sermon, 4 things every Christian ought to want to know. Amen. To know Jesus better. Amen. To participate in the power of his resurrection is meaning not letting your zeal go away, but always alive for the Lord. Amen. And participation in his sufferings means there are some places we can't go. There's things we can't do, stuff we can't have, things we can't say. Amen? And everybody else is doing whatever they want to do, but we can't do those things because the Lord calls us to walk for him in this life. Come like him in his death. You know what that means? A kenosis, a self-emptying of yourself and allowing the Lord to have his way in you. You remember when Jesus was in the garden? And Jesus pulled that kenosis. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what God wants from us. So as we run back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is letting them know, I didn't come to you as some powerful superhuman being. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith not might rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You know, I thank the Lord. I used to think it was something wrong with me. I never would. I never had a preacher idol. You know how everybody say that's my preacher? I've never had one. See, I wasn't raised in the church, so I was raised in a house where church was everywhere. Okay, the influence was there. I was led to Christ by my mom and daddy, but I didn't go to church every Sunday. Okay? Amen? So, you know, I didn't have no favorite preacher. That's my favorite preacher over there. I love listening to that preacher. Amen? I listen for the word, not for the person. The person could be but the donkey that talked to Balaam. If he's talking God's word, I'm listening. See, the Corinthians had a problem with that. See, if Peter showed up, some of them would come and some of them would not come. Amen. Hers ain't on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody said they can't hear me, but that's not my phone. That's got to be yours because I hear me in the monitor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I've never had no favorite, no picks, no choosers. whoever was speaking the word of God, and I was like the Bereans, because when I read Acts chapter 17, I came across a group of people called Bereans. And Jesus said that these people were more noble than the folks who lived in Thessalonica. So I looked up the Thessalonians, and they tried to kill Paul. He had to get up out of there. He was harassing the crap out of him. So he had to go. But the Bereans weren't like that. The Bereans, what they did was they studied the word of God. Okay? They examined the word of God that Paul spoke to see if the things he said was true. Amen? So for me, I don't have no favorite preacher, no T.D. Jakes, my favorite preacher. Creflo Dollar, my favorite preacher. Now, I did have a favorite teacher. That was Joyce Myers, and she taught me for about 20 years. Okay? Amen? I'll admit that. You know, if you talked while you were in the vehicle with me while I was listening to her, I'd probably put you out. Amen? Because I was going to get my 15 minutes of teaching. I love teaching. But I've never fallen in love with a human being. I like listening to human beings who correctly interpret the word of God and then illuminate it. Well, the Holy Spirit brings the illumination. But what they do is they interpret the word of God, then they make it palatable. They break it down so that you can understand it, so you can get it. And they might use a lot of Hebrew words, a lot of Greek words. They're only doing that not to look smart. They're doing that to help you know that this is the truth. And, man, most of y'all know that I count words. The first words I ever counted in the Bible was Jesus with that thief on the cross. Nobody got saved that quick ever in history. Amen. This man, first, if you read all the accounts from all the Gospels, when Jesus is up on that cross, that man was with the other man ragging on Jesus. Okay? But then after a while, something happened because he changed. And he looked at Jesus after the last man had wisecracked again. And then my man changed. He said, look, we up here because we've been thieving. We've been boosting, and we got busted. And now we up here on the cross. One second. And now we up here on the cross because we bad boosters. We got busted. Okay? Then he turned to Jesus, and he said, he told the other man before he turned to Jesus, he said, look, we up here because we did what we did. That's why we're here. But this man, he ain't done nothing. He got to be the Christ. He got to be the Christ. This man must have known a lot more about Jesus than just what he learned on that cross. There has to have been some kind of something that went on before this statement. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. If you read that, I think it's from the King James Version, you're going to find 28 words. If you read it from the NIV Version, I believe you're going to find 33 words. In 33 words, that man got saved. In 33 words, that man was the first one to go to paradise. That's my hero, Jesus. Amen. That's my hero. Jesus has always been my hero. I guess it's because of the way I was saved that I got saved on my way to do what I told y'all last week I used to do. Amen. I had an alternative way of making money. Praise God. Amen. I was a dealer of sorts. Amen. But anyway, enough about that. You can go listen to last week to hear that. Amen. But Jesus picked me. Ain't that something? Jesus always was my favorite because he was the one. Couldn't nobody explain the Bible to me like Jesus. Now, I'm not going to say Jesus came and sat down in my living room and said, this is what that means. No, what happened is when you filled with the Holy Spirit and you start reading, all of a sudden you start understanding things that you read before. Like my mother had a Bible that laid on the table all the time, and me and my brother, I got one now that got the beautiful woodcut pictures in them. Soldiers standing there like with Joshua when the Lord showed up and was dressed up in all that armor and had his sword out. That picture was in there, and that excited me and my brother Christopher. We never read the words, but we did watch, amen, but it had these beautiful, amen, woodcuts and all of that stuff in there, amen. And we fell in love Amen. With the word. Amen. Long story short, what Paul is trying to do is get these Philippians to flip from their immaturity, and the best way to do that is with the word of God. Christians who don't read the word of God remain spiritually immature. I didn't say they weren't saved, but they're spiritually immature. Amen? And spiritual immaturity leads to all kinds of problems in your personal life. As we're going to see going through here, their whole life was tore up. Their personal life, their family life, their civic life, their church life and civic life. All of it was messed up. And it all went back to, amen, spiritual immaturity. And people who have picks and choosers, favorite preachers and choirs, I mean, you know, everybody got some music you like better than other music. But for me, it's never been about the man or the woman. It's always been about the word. It's always about the word of God. And so Paul tells them in chapter 2, he is continuing his conversation from chapter 1. See, if you read my third book, the Bible, God's Word to Us, you came to a place in that book, amen, where it talked about people getting the word of God for the first time. Yes, the Bible is God's word to us. And a whole lot of folks for about 1,250 years didn't have a real word. And so when you look at the behavior and the activity that was going on in the church, it's the same as it was in this church. A lack of knowledge of God's words leads to all kinds of crazy behavior. And so the Bible was not in chapters and verses until 1551. 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea, called together by Constantine, Athanasius, the North African bishop, put together a group that put together the 27 documents we call the New Testament. Amen? And so we have today a complete Bible. For real? Amen. We have a complete Bible. I'm trying to shorten this thing up, but I don't have to. Amen. So they got together, they put together the 27 books, and then we get 66 books together. It had become corrupt, and for 1,250 years, they had a corrupt word. Clean word in 1517. After 1517, when they get a clean word, that's when the Reformation movement happened and people began to write Reformation Bibles. After 1517, right? By 1551, they had put the Bible into chapters and verses. And the reason they did that is so that people could easily remember it better, remember better what they read. So that's why when you're reading chapter 1 and you come to chapter 2, the same conversation he's having in 1, he's having in 2, he's just extending it. Okay? And so he says here, I didn't come to y'all like smart people. I didn't come to you in human wisdom, but I came to you by the power of God. I came to you by the Holy Spirit working through me. And you've already heard the word that Deaconess June Rogers read. And we hear this all the time. And you know, it really upsets me. I shouldn't let it, but it does. When I hear preachers say, and the church go wild, and the preachers say, when they get to a high point in the sermon and everybody hyped up and everybody ready to explode and praise, the preacher will say, what no eye have seen, what no ear have heard, what no mind has conceived about the things God loved for them, and then they stop right there. I've always thought that was crazy. How can I rejoice and say and holler amen about what my eyes can't see? My ears can't hear, and my mind can't conceive. Why should I be hollering, amen, praise the Lord, I can't wait for the stuff I can't see, can't hear, and can't think about? Now, that sounds crazy, don't it? But you've been in church, and you know when you get hyped up in there, and the preacher get going real good, and the preacher will say, what no eye have seen, what no ear have heard, what no mind has conceived about the stuff that God loves, and they never say this. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Holy Spirit. They just leave us hanging, believing that it's somehow a blessing to not be able to see what God got in store for us, to not be able to hear what God got in store for us, to not even be able to conceive in our minds what God has in store for us. And somehow after we hear that, and I know you done been there, and I know you probably guilty, and you hollered, amen, praise the Lord. I can't see it, can't hear it, can't conceive it. Hallelujah. Really? Really? Amen. Isaiah wrote about it. I think it's 64, in chapter 64. This is where this passage comes from. It says, as it is written. In other words, what he is saying here, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't see, you can't hear, your mind can't come up with what God has in store for those who love him. But since we are filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, we can go read Revelation. We can go read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We know what's in store for us. Why? Because God has revealed it to us the only way it can be revealed. And how is that? By his Holy Spirit. And if you haven't had the Holy Spirit, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Only those who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior have the Holy Spirit in them. You can have a radio in your car, but let me snatch that antenna off and see how many stations you pick up. Amen. Let me snatch your cable wire out or knock that dish off your house. See how many channels you pick up. Amen. But when we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples over in the book of John that I'm going away. I think it's John chapter 16, but I'm not going to leave you like orphans and all alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. In fact, you ought to be glad I'm going away, because if I didn't go away, the Holy Spirit would not come. But because I'm going away, the Holy Spirit is coming. I got to come to a close here because my time is almost all the way out. But let me read you something over here in John chapter 16. Amen. Listen to what we get when we receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says. I have much more to say to you. I'm at verse 12. I have much more to say to you than you can bear right now. In other words, Jesus was about to leave, and everything he needed to say to them goes all the way to the end of time, and they ain't got that much time because he's getting ready to get up out of here. It's Thursday night. He's on his way to the cross. He's going to the garden, and the next day he's going to be on the cross. Amen. But he got a whole lot to say to them, but he can't say it to them now because it's too much to say in this little bit of time. But when he, watch out, the Spirit of Truth comes, oh, guess what he's going to do? He will guide you into all truth. Jesus says, I'm the way to what? Truth and the life. He'll let you know everything about Jesus. He'll not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what's yet to come. Going to show you the future. Yeah, our Holy Spirit, amen, he's omnipresent like God, and he can show you the future. He will glorify me, Jesus says, because it is from me, Jesus says, that he will receive what he'll make known to you. So everything you hear the Holy Spirit say, he got it from Jesus, and that belongs to the Father is mine. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you. So now we know that God, our Father, gives it to Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, gives it to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And that's what Paul is saying over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we have the Holy Spirit of God so we can know what this Bible says from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 20, 22 and 21. Lord have mercy. I ain't through, but I got to quit for the day. Amen. I got to quit. Jesus said, if you tell preachers they preach 40 minutes, then you got to preach 40 minutes and quit. Amen. But y'all know I ain't through. We're going to come back next week, the Lord willing, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians part 3. And guess what? He's going to really get deep into spiritual immaturity in chapter 3. You know why? You know what he's going to do? He literally going to tell them, y'all a bunch of babies. I planted your church 5 years ago, and y'all still over here babying around. Where you at, Crystal? I need you to pop up, Crystal. Y'all still over here. Hey, do you know anybody in your church that still act like a Christian baby? Been in the church like Minister Natrice Jackson say, 50-11 dozen years, and they still the same way they was when they got saved 20 years ago? They still cuss the same. They still fuss the same. They still got a bad attitude. They act real funny even in God's house. Lord have mercy. Come on, Crystal. I'm going to keep preaching. Come on, Crystal. I'm on fire over here. I can't stop.
I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't sure if I should have jumped in there. But I think I'm going to just throw you a life vest and just go ahead. And it, it was funny because you usually ramp up early in the sermon, but you took you a little bit today, and then you ramped up at the end, and now you at 100 miles an hour, and now you got to slam on your brakes and stop. Which I can only imagine.
I went all through the windshield. I'm all out on the sidewalk.
I can only imagine how that has to feel when you're trying to get stuff out and just trying to just bring it all out, and you just got to stop because I just can't imagine how that is. But, okay, you won't pause now, so you go and catch your breath and get some water.
Thank you.
Get all the glass off of you and everything. went through the whole windshield. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then Chris
Help,
Tucker
Lord.
Showed up. But anyway, God.
We are not. Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help, Lord. Good morning, everybody. We going to give Pastor O a second to get himself together and get the car dust and the glass and all of that off of him since he revved up at the end and not by his own admission. He went through a windshield. Good morning, everybody. Please excuse my voice again today. I am sounding quite gross. My son likes to share, and sharing is caring, but not in this situation when you don't feel the greatest. So please excuse my voice this morning. So happy Sunday, everybody. Okay. Just by way of a couple of announcements, Saturdays at 9 a.m., of course, we have our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Church School here on Blog Talk Radio, of course. And then we have our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Worship Service on Saturdays at 10 a.m. And for the next couple of weeks, we will have our Sunday worship service here on Blog Talk Radio on Sundays at 10 a.m. And so I say for the next couple of weeks because on Sunday, March the 5th, which is only a couple Sundays from now, we will be back having our in-person worship services. Amen. So, yep, we got to get out of our pajamas, put some clothes on, and actually go out of the house, amen, to church service. So, again, excuse me, Sunday, March the 5th, we will begin having our in-person worship services again at 10 a.m., okay, in person, but we will be at a new location. We're going to be at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Okay, so River Rouge High School is located at 1460 West Coolidge in River Rouge, Michigan. Again, Sunday, March the 5th, we will start having our in-person worship services beginning at 10 a.m. at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Again, the address is 1460 West Coolidge in River Rouge. All right, so set yourself a reminder on your calendar, whatever it is that you do to remind yourself that Sunday, March the 5th, we will be back in person We will be back in person on Sundays beginning March 5th at 10 a.m. Amen. Don't forget Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. We will continue with our class on 2 Peter taught by Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Please read chapter 5 in the book 2 Peter. Of course, 2 Peter. So weird to say 2 Peter. It's just putting 2 Peter. By Charlie Avila. And make sure to answer the questions in the back of the book and be ready for discussion.
Also, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Mr. Richard Overalls here on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m., our Bible reading classes here on Blog Talk Radio. Questions are available by email if you're on Pastor's email list, but they're also available on our church website, rsbm.org. Deacon Eric Reed is going to be teaching Ezekiel, I believe, chapters 16 to 20. So, again, get your questions all done up and be ready to participate on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Deaconess Kathy says that she is going to continue with doing Bring Back the Family on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Amen. So I know before she used to be on Sundays at 4 p.m. And then when we switched to Blog Talk Radio, due to building issues, that she moved to Fridays. But she did just let me know that she is going to stay on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family at 7 p.m. Amen? So just make sure to tune into that. On Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class taught by the president of Bondage Breaker Ministries, Pastor Janice Tate. She is the teacher of the women's Bible class. And so if you want to participate, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and just click on Bondage Breaker Ministries, and you'll get the information that you need to reach out to Pastor Janice and be involved in her women's Bible class. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit the church website, rfcm.org, and click on tithes and offerings. We know that when Pastor preaches on Sundays, he doesn't like an offering to be taken up for him. But if you would still like to give a love offering for Pastor O, you can do it through our church website, rfcm.org, or through his website, pastorgmo.com, www.pastorgmo.com. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and everyone else that we are able to help throughout the year with your consistent and generous giving. Amen. Again, don't forget to go to our church website, rfcm.org, and share the website with others. There's jobs, resources, services available all for free. Everything that we do here on Blog Talk Radio, whether it's a class, a service, a teaching, the history of something, the history of Christmas, whatever it is, it's all recorded, and it's all archived, and it's all free. So you can go all the way back to 2009 and listen to everything that we've ever done, on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to it for free. You can download it, and you can also share it with others. Amen. So we always want to say good morning to all of our mothers that run For Christ Ministries. We always want to shout them out. We love them so much, and we're so happy that we will be able to see them very soon. Amen. So Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, good morning. We miss you and we love you. We always have at least one of them in the church building holding it down for everybody every Sunday. And we know that we had at least one of them listening this morning, if not all of them, because we know that them just picking up the phone is much easier than them having to get up and kind of go out and move around, because, sometimes the body just don't want a body like it's supposed to. Amen. So we just want to say good morning to them, and we love them so much. Again, even though we're not in the church physical building and we won't be together for the next couple of weeks, we still need to take time to call and text or email and check on one another, especially our mothers on the move. They always enjoy hearing from us. So, again, if you still need addresses and phone numbers between now and the time that we're physically back together, you can still always reach out to Sheila, and she'll make sure to get that information to you. Amen? Please don't forget to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Run for Christ Ministry members who are facing upcoming tests and surgeries and procedures. Even though we're coming back together, but we're not in our physical church building that we're used to being in, please continue to still pray for the reconstruction of the church building. Please don't forget to continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Nicole Seabrooks, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, Doris and Nakia Gaither. I did hear yesterday that Doris is in the hospital. And so because Nakia has been her caregiver for so long, and like Pastor said, she didn't intend on it being that way, but it ultimately ended up being that way. She did it for her dad, and then he passed, and, she was doing it for her mom, and even when she was taking care of her dad. So we know that caregivers have a lot on their plate, and they always tend to put themselves second to taking care of the person who needs the care. So please remember to just continue to pray for Doris and Nakia. Please, again, don't forget to pray for all of our mothers at Run for Christ, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please remember to pray for Keila Freeman as well as Ed Johnson. Don't forget to pray for Sheila's brother, Dwayne. Don't forget to pray for our president and our vice president and the leaders of our country and, you know, the leaders of our communities. Don't forget to pray for all of our children and our young adults. Pray, of course, for one another. Please don't forget to pray for yourself. Don't forget to pray for all of those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. And I know people lump all of those words together as one feeling, but if you look every definition up of bereaved, mourning, and grieving, they're all different. And so I say those three because they're all different feelings, and they're all different. They're all different. Just say it like that. Just look the words up. That's why I say all three. And so we just need to remember to continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving, because we know that death is a part of life. And even if you have one person that loved you and there was only one person that loved you and cared for you, if you're gone, that person who loved and cared for you is still going to be affected by the fact that you are no longer here. So even if it's just one person, that's one person who, you know, may have a hard time trying to just pick up the pieces and moving forward. Even though we know that death is a part of life, it doesn't change the fact that we're still here and we still have a purpose that God has given us, and we have to move forward. So a lot of times the only way that we can move forward is by prayers from others. Amen. So please continue to pray for all those who are grieving everywhere. Continue to pray again for Rayfield in June, you know, in the loss of her sister, and all those who lost their loved ones in the earthquake over in Syria and Turkey. Like I said yesterday, I saw some pictures that I can't unsee, and so just so much devastation that it's just impossible to understand, like, just really how bad it is. And, you know, you've lost a lot of people in a short amount of time, and death doesn't discriminate. Okay, so I saw a picture of a man holding his deceased daughter's hand. She was laying in her bed, and she, you know, so just continue to pray. And like Pastor said, that's holy land over there. It's holy ground over there. That's where Paul was doing his missionary journeys and everything. In modern-day Turkey, I remember, that's the word I always remember, modern-day Turkey, when you got all of the other, you know, the words that the places we read in the Bible where Paul went, that's Turkey today. Amen. So like Pastor said, that's holy ground over there. So we just need to make sure that we are praying for them to lift Jesus up. Amen. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Happy birthday to Mother Marilyn, who celebrated her birthday on the 7th, and to Nico Gasson, who is celebrating her birthday on the 21st. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled, God is Working for Your Good. Amen. This is by Pastor Rick Warren. We know he's the lead pastor at Saddleback Church. So I tend to read his devotions on Sunday because they're shorter. Saturday, excuse me, I have more time. But his are pretty short and sweet and to the point. So it's just enough to get your brain moving and have you focus on something that's positive, okay? So that's why these devotions happen. So surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And that's Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. Even in the middle of your hurts, habits, and hangups, God is watching over you. King David says to God in Psalm 23, 6, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. When David says, surely your goodness will pursue me, he's not saying, surely only good things are going to happen to me. David knew as well as anyone that bad things happen to good people. He had been abused and treated unfairly and was still a man who followed God's heart. But he had also sinned, excuse me, terribly against people who had done no wrong to him. All right, David's point is that no matter how bad, evil, or difficult something seems, and no matter how much we mess things up, God will work it out for good. His goodness is pursuing us no matter which way we turn. It's one of God's great promises that he's given to believers. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In everything that happens to us, God is working for our good if we love God and are following his plan. This verse does not say that all things are good, but if you're a believer, all things are working together for God's plan and purposes, which are always good. That means there's no difficulty, no dilemma, no defeat or disaster in the life of a believer that God can't ultimately turn toward his purpose. When you believe that, it changes how you view everything in your life, your relationships with God and other people, your past, your future, and whatever you are facing today. As you trust in God's good work in your life, you will be able to face even your toughest challenges with confidence. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Sir, appreciate
Absolutely.
That super much. And again, you picked the last song.
Uh-oh.
Since you said it's working for your good, there's actually a song about that.
Amen. Yes,
oh my
it is.
Lord, this girl just be calling them. I'm calling
it's too
them
much.
Out. I'm in
too
the
much.
Spirit.
It's too much.
And
my
I'm
Holy Spirit
calling
never takes
them
a
out.
Break. Never takes a coffee break.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
And Sheila, baby Holy Ghost, say get well.
Thank you. I love you, Pen Pal.
Out the room
love
like,
you, Pen Pal.
Why you fell out, man?
I love you, Pen Pal.
She says she loves you, Pen Pal. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Tell me, I say, what's up?
I sure will. Amen. He got a day off today. Praise God.
And it's Super Bowl day, too. I know he
pretty. I know. He already about to be time. Gone in about a couple hours. Yep, he'll be all right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you. We'll see you later, Crystal.
Amen. All right.
Amen. We give thanks to God for each and every one of you and for the folks we mentioned at the outset of this service. And, you know, all over the world, God is doing things. And, you know, when you go to church and the preachers tend to walk down your street and touch up all your stuff, amen, thank God that he's paying attention to you. And Jesus said it in Philippians 1:6, I'm going away. Well, I mean, Jesus said in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you is going to carry it out to completion. And when he mentions the day of the Lord, that means you'll be done when the rapture happens. So don't get upset if you're not perfect. Amen. Because Jesus won't perfect you. You're perfected in him, but you won't be perfected in real time until you get to be where he is. Amen. When you get up out of this flesh and this flesh gets glorified, as Philippians 3:20-21 tell us, amen, then he'll be through. But while we're going through this life, through the Holy Spirit, through the person, the Holy Spirit, not some manifestation, but through the person, the Holy Spirit, he is going to affect change in us. And he's preparing us for who we're going to be forever. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but beyond space and time. Because where Jesus lives, there is no space, there is no time. Time was and space was given to the earth, not where God lives. So he's preparing us to live in a place where there's no space and time. So if we are stuck on preparing ourselves for this temporal, then we, you know, amen, would do a whole lot better if we prepared for the eternal, because that's where Jesus is. He said it in John 14:2. He says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to get you so that you can be with me where I am. And that ain't on earth. Amen. Jesus is taking us to a place where there is no time. Amen. So we're going to have to adjust to that. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. So let the Lord have his work on you. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit who you've received from God when you got saved. And the way to grieve him is not to do the things he's telling you to do. Amen? Because he knows that you are going to suffer. Amen? For not paying attention. Okay, let's not forget to pray for the people in Turkey and the United States while things are in the air, unknown flying and you know, unknown stuff flying all through the air. Amen. Amen. So as Crystal said, let's don't forget to pray. Because look, people, church, we're the only people on earth who can talk to the Father. Because the blind man said in John chapter 9, we know that God does not hear sinners. And so we're sinners saved by grace, sinners saved by grace. Amen. And we can cry, Abba, Father, Romans 8. We can do what Jesus said. When you pray, say, Our Father. So say, Our Father, about the things going on with the people around you and in this world. And remember this, God is bringing this stuff to an end. So don't pray for him to keep it going or to fix it, because that's not the plan. Plan is to take out of this life a people for himself. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, Amen.
God is leaning in my direction. Don't prophesy. I said he can't leave. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You gotta say it, say it.
He's leaving.
In my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed. For grace. For favor. This is my seed. Come on, y'all.
To be what I have sown.
Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth and say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.